Welcome to the Living Healthy Podcast, where you can improve your quality of life by making solid and informed decisions. I'm your host, Eddie Randall. Thank you for tuning in to Season 2, Episode 14 of the Living Healthy Podcast. Again, thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your support. Please feel free to check out the latest merchandise at the Living Healthy Podcast store. The link is in the description of the podcast. Tonight, I'll be talking about our pets, in particular, dogs and cats. Just like in human food and products, there can be carcinogens and questionable chemicals that are used also in pet foods and products. Since dogs and cats are the most popular pets, the podcast will be about them. Tonight I'll be discussing natural ways to care for our pets, which covers food, snacks, toys, preventative care, and care items. Tonight's podcast is entitled, How to Maintain Your Pet's Health Naturally and Give Them the Best Life. Our pets. We love our pets. Our pets are part of the family. Once we adopt a new pet, they get used to their environment that we provide for them. And after a while, they seem like they've always been a part of the family. Pets provide us with companionship, loyalty, protection, and love. After all, they need us just as much as we need them. After a while, our pets adapt to our personalities, and we adapt to theirs. We soon fall in love with their quirks, their likes, their behaviors. Our pets' behaviors can be so unique and so funny that sometimes people describe pets as being humans trapped in an animal's body. Which leads me to the point of tonight's podcast. We make sure that we eat healthy, exercise more, watch our weight, and avoid products that contain chemicals that can possibly cause problems. Oftentimes, the way we treat ourselves and our family is often overlooked when it comes to our furry friends. If anything, we should pay a lot more attention when it comes to our pets in regard to their health, as the number one killer of dogs is cancer. We all know that there are preservatives and potentially harmful chemicals that are in food. The same holds true for our pets, as many pet foods contain potential carcinogens. And it's truly a huge rabbit hole to explore once you learn about healthy pet food and products and try to seek out the best options possible. Lifespan. To understand pets and how to care for them naturally and intelligently, we have to understand their lifespan as well as how they age. Dogs typically have shorter lives than cats, and depending on the breed of dog or cat that you may have, this can also determine their lifespan. Dogs on average live anywhere from 10 to 15 years. In rarer circumstances, some can live up to 19 years. Cats on average live anywhere between 12 to 18 years, and in rare instances can live just over 20 years. Dogs and cats can experience endocrine issues like diabetes as well as certain cancers and renal failure. However, cancer tends to be the number one cause of death. The thing is, our beloved pets cannot talk, and that's why we have to pay attention to their behavior. They cannot tell us when they're sick, and unfortunately, by the time we're able to catch on, most of the time it's usually too late. However, medicine is light years ahead of where it used to be, so as long as we continue to have regular vet visits and care for our pets the way we care for ourselves, they will have the longest and best life possible. When our furry family members are sick, their behavior can vary. Depending on your dog's personality, they may be a little more clingy than usual, or your dog may be very distant and uninterested in their favorite things to do. As far as cats, most cats tend to be less affectionate than dogs, but that's not always the case. So depending on your cat's normal behavior, you may be able to pick up on when they're feeling sick. That being said, cats would tend to replicate the same behavior as dogs when they're not feeling well. Pet food. Pet food is big business. In the United States, we produce almost 10 million tons a year, and the industry is valued at $77 billion. The most basic pet food contains basic carbs, fats, minerals, protein, vitamins, meat, meat byproducts, and grains. Not all pet foods are created equal, and although the FDA regulates pet food in the U.S., just as with human food, there are some ingredients and preservatives that should be avoided. So what is in dog food? As we all know, the main ingredients are listed in the order from what makes up the most of the product down to the smallest amount of the product. Usually, preservatives are listed toward the end, but that's not always the case. Sometimes preservatives are the fourth or fifth ingredient, and then there is a list of 20 or 30 other things that are in there. Foods like that should be avoided, as you're basically feeding your dog a preservative. The FDA states that ingredients are listed in the order of weight of each ingredient. When we look at dry dog food, some manufacturers will have the primary ingredient as corn and/or chicken meal, beef meal, or bone meal. The first ingredient should be beef, chicken, or lamb, as this would be better than having just beef meal, chicken meal, or lamb meal alone. According to the AAFCO, which is the Association of American Feed Control Officials, they state that if chicken, beef, or lamb, or some kind of animal is listed as the main ingredient, then it must be real meat from that breed of animal. As an example, if beef is the main ingredient, that means it must contain beef muscle, beef tissue, beef flesh, and/or beef skin, and shall not contain any bone. In comparison, beef meal, this is made after two things happen. One, all the usable popular meat cuts have been taken, and two, the remaining beef trimmings are used to make hot dogs. What's left is meat that's not fit for human consumption. This is literally the carcass, which is the skull, eyes, tongue, heart, hooves, bones, intestines, etc. If it's a chicken meal, then it would be chicken beaks, chicken heads, blood, undeveloped eggs, etc. This is why when you buy whole chicken, depending on the company, they sometimes have a label that says maybe missing the giblets, as they sell those parts, you know, as it's expensive to dispose of the carcass or certain parts of the animal. Beef meal, chicken meal, or lamb meal is processed at high temperature, and the end result is a brown powder that is further processed into dog food. Other ingredients include fish meal. This is an essential source of omega-3 fatty acids for brain and eye health. It's made the same as any other meal product. It mostly consists of small, bony fish, deformed fish, fish heads, fish eyes, bones, fins, and fish innards. What they do is they take these parts and pulverize them into a powder. Then it's added to the pet food. The problem stems from the preservative that is used to keep fish meal from becoming rancid. This preservative is called 6-ethoxy-1,2-dihydro-2,2,4-trimethylquinoline, also known as ethoxyquin. For years, this has been used as a preservative in the feed industry to prevent products from spoiling. The European Food and Safety Authority determined that this causes liver issues in animals, and then in 2017, the European Union banned its use for human and animal consumption. However, it's still used in the United States today. As a matter of fact, it's been used for the last 20 years. However, it has very limited use in human consumption in the U.S. It's used for feed for animals that we eat and is used for some fruits and spices. According to the EPA, it's fit for use on apples and pears as it prevents brown spots from forming on them. It's also used as a preservative, it's also used to preserve the color in chili powder, paprika, and ground chili. On top of that, it's deemed fit for consumption for our four-legged family members. Pet parents have been voicing their concerns since the 1980s in regard to kidney issues, skin issues, elevated liver enzymes, and cancers that are linked to foods that have been using this preservative. Ethoxyquin was made by the Monsanto company back in the 1950s and was originally used as a pesticide. It was also used to treat rubber to prevent rubber from breaking down and tearing apart prematurely. At some point, it was tried out as a preservative for animal feed. and it's been used that way ever since. As I had mentioned earlier, this chemical is used to prevent fish meal from reacting with oxygen and going bad. It also helps to prevent instantaneous combustion, as the fish meal may be predisposed to this. This was a huge issue as international companies transported it to U.S. manufacturers. There have been reports from the U.S. Coast Guard of transport vessels carrying fish meal smoldering or catching on fire. So treating fish meal with ethoxyquin is in part guarantees safe passage. Then, when it gets to the manufacturer, they simply add the treated fish meal to their pet food. This is also how manufacturers are allowed to omit ethoxyquin as an ingredient in their products. It was already added, and they didn't add it. The rules are very loose in this regard, as it was treated prior to them getting it to make our dog and cat food. The manufacturer is not obligated to list it. I'm not trying to make those who don't list it out to be or to seem that they're deceptive or misleading. They're simply working within the laws laid down by federal regulators. The simplest thing to do is to avoid any food that contains fish meal. Not all pet foods that contain fish meal have ethoxyquin in it, but it's just best to avoid it altogether. In addition, ethoxyquin has many names. Some of them are antioxidant EC, Santoflex, Santoquin, and Quinol. If you want to see the federal code, which is Federal Code 21 for regulating ethoxyquin from the FDA's website, I'll post a link to it in the podcast description. Another chemical to be wary of is butylated hydroxyanisole, also known as BHA. It's used in cosmetics and in pet food. It's known to cause cancer in animals, but there's conflicting evidence regarding it being carcinogenic in humans. That being said, it's banned in Australia, Canada, parts of Europe, Japan, and New Zealand. It has been recognized as an endocrine disruptor. It disrupts reproduction and promotes high risk for cancer. Butylated hydroxytoluene, or BHT, is another chemical similar to BHA. They both work like ethoxyquin to prevent fat from spoiling. Like BHA, BHT is also banned in the places I just mentioned, Australia, Canada, parts of Europe, Japan, and New Zealand. Propylene glycol is yet another preservative. The reason this is added is that it helps to keep pet food dry by eliminating moisture. As with other detrimental preservatives, if this is consumed in large amounts, it can poison and kill your pet. It interferes with normal body processes and can even disrupt red blood cell processes and production. The issue is that pets have the same food day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. The buildup of these dangerous and questionable chemicals puts the health of our furry family members at risk. According to the American College of Veterinary Pharmacists, their website states that exposure to propylene glycol can lead to low blood pressure, cardiovascular issues, increased thirst, and seizures. Additionally, it can lead to anemia in cats. The FDA has flat out banned its use in cat food, but not in dog food. According to the FDA, the chemical interferes significantly with red blood cells in felines. The thing to look for when buying a food for your pet is to find one that lists natural preservatives like ascorbic acid, aka vitamin C, or mixed tocopherols, aka vitamin E. As a supplement to fish meal, you can first speak to your veterinarian and implement cod liver oil into your pet's diet. It'll provide the same benefits for our furry family members as it does for us. Keep in mind, this is mostly to be given for a short period of time, maybe up to a couple of months, especially if the food you're giving your pet contains docosahexaenoic acid, also known as DHA, which is usually added to premium dog food as it is a great source for omega-3 fatty acids. As far as the amount of cod liver oil, it will vary. For cats, you can give them a quarter teaspoon per day. For dogs that are under 15 pounds, you can give them a quarter teaspoon per day. For dogs up to 25 pounds, I recommend half a teaspoon. up to 50 pounds, I recommend 1 teaspoon. Dogs up to 75 pounds should get 1.5 teaspoons. Dogs up to 100 pounds should get 2 teaspoons. And finally, dogs at 110 pounds should get 2.5 teaspoons. Doing this for a few months will help your pet grow a beautiful full coat, aid in skin, brain, and eye health. For older pets, this will help to aid against joint inflammation, it'll relieve pain, and it'll aid in cardiovascular health. Soy is another ingredient that should be avoided. It can cause allergies in your dog or cat. For dogs, it definitely has the potential, and for cats, it is a known allergen. This is very important as your pet can be allergic to anything, as you really don't know until you've had your furry pet for a while or until you have tried a new food or snack. Some of the symptoms that can arise from allergies are hair loss, red eyes, itchy skin, etc. I remember years ago, one of my dogs was getting ear infections continuously, and her eyes would be red. Our vet tried everything, and I mean everything, including very expensive select ingredient foods. Nothing seemed to work, and it got to the point where he told me to give her a Chlorotab a day. I tried this for a while, but I was wary of giving her this daily over an extended period of time, so I eventually stopped. I even began cooking my dog's food with a crock pot and all fresh, organic ingredients. That was getting a bit expensive, and it was hard to balance the essential vitamins that my dogs needed. As far as the ear infections, they did eventually stop, and I tried a very expensive premium ingredient kibble, and it worked wonders. The ear infections stopped, so my dog had needed a break from traditional food. And in regard to soy, it can interfere with digestion, in addition to having the potential to become an endocrine disruptor. Soy can also be called or classified as lecithin. So if you want to eliminate allergies, be wary of other names for soy. Grains can be utilized as a carb for dogs, but not so much for cats. They're mostly used like corn as cheap fillers. They're not completely necessary, but there are better alternatives like pea and sweet potato. I'm mentioning this because grains can be an allergen for both dogs and cats. So in regard to dog food and cat food, there are great options out there. I would have to go with a brand that has premium ingredients or organic food. An organic brand like Organics and premium brands like Origin and Acana are ideal. Just like when we shop for the best food for our four-legged family members can be expensive. Don't get me wrong, it is absolutely worth it, and if you can afford it, I would go for it. Just know that the best food brands tend to be sold in 5, 10, and 25-pound bags, with the 25-pound bags costing anywhere from $80 to over $100. If you have cats or small dogs, that may not be so much of an issue. However, if you're like me and you have large breed dogs like Labrador Retrievers or German Shepherds, you can spend around $400 a month to feed them. Now, our furry family members are well worth it, but there are alternatives that are more practical. If you simply avoid pet foods with the aforementioned chemicals, everything should be fine. Key takeaways from this is that you should buy a food that best accommodates your pet and you. You should give them the best food that contains the cleanest and most natural ingredients. This food should also be something that your pet is not allergic to. Hence the problem I had with one of my dogs always getting ear infections, as she was allergic to certain ingredients in her food. It took a lot of trial and error to get a food that she could handle. Additionally, it should be something that you can afford. Now, if you feel compelled, you can give organic food every now and again. If you want to feed your pet organic food every other bag of conventional, clean ingredient food, you can also do that. You know your pet, and some say to gradually mix in the food as to not upset your pet's digestive system in between, you know, changing the foods. Then again, some pets have no issue and can switch from one food to the other with no problem. The majority of people I feel will take the following recommendation that I follow. I feed my pets a very good dog food brand that is pricey, but it's well worth it. It's not organic, but it's the best food possible and with the least amount of questionable ingredients. But on the organic side, I do give my dogs organic carrots, organic yogurt, organic cheese, organic sweet potatoes, organic blueberries, organic broccoli, organic cranberries, and all of this is in addition to store-bought organic dog snacks and treats. I'm going to briefly touch on water, as this is a topic often brought up in regard to pets. Also, on most pet foods, there's a label to remind you to provide lots of clean, fresh water for your pet. I've been giving my pets bottled spring water for many years now. There are some things in regard to drinking tap water that just don't sit right with me. I'm not saying tap water is dangerous or that it's going to kill you. Tap water in the U.S. for the most part is safe, and there are strict regulations in place to make sure that it stays safe. I just make the personal choice to not drink it. Bottled water can be a bit expensive, especially with the current rate of inflation, but that is a sacrifice my family and I make because you need water and you have to have it. And although not all spring water is created equal, it has a lot less contaminants than tap water, and it tastes a whole heck of a lot better. I wanted to take a moment to say thank you for supporting the podcast. The Living Healthy podcast is listed on many platforms, including Anchor, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Bullhorn, and many others. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. And don't forget to check out the Living Healthy podcast channel on YouTube. Also, if you have any questions or would like me to discuss a particular topic, or you'd like to be a guest on the show, please contact me at livinghealthy@gmail.com. As far as the difference in wet or dry food, both have their benefits and your pet should have a mixture of both. You can feed dry food a few days a week and wet the rest of the week. It's truly up to you. Most pets, dogs in particular, prefer wet food as it more closely resembles meat. Meat, of course, is the diet of their ancestors and it's in their DNA to seek this. The same can be said for cats. If you only choose to feed your dog or cat wet food, that is fine. Just make sure it's a high-quality brand with premium ingredients. This is good for dogs and cats who don't drink enough water or who may have issues with UTIs. The only thing is you will have to be a bit more diligent with oral care as the wet food can ruin your pet's teeth over time. There's nothing wrong with the food itself, it's just the lack of brushing would be an issue. So you may have to brush every day juxtaposed to brushing every other day or a few times a week. Dry food would be better in that the crunch and abrasiveness of the food can actually help to clean teeth and keep them sharp. What you can do is what I do. I feed my dogs wet food every now and again. Then on occasion I will pour some bottled water into a small pot, warm it, and add it to their dry food. Then I'll let it sit for a minute or two, making sure to have the water baste all the food, creating a rich gravy. My dogs love it. The takeaway is this. As long as you're feeding an organic or premium food, it doesn't matter if it's wet or dry. You'll just have to stay on top of the oral care if it's wet. As far as the industry and making food on your own, you can cook for your pet as a temporary solution while you find a food for them, or you can just do it all the time. You would do something like this if they have allergies from eating conventional food. Or you can cook for them if they have an upset stomach and you want to help soothe their stomach. There are nutrition and vitamin supplements that you can give your dog or cat if you cook for them. I would advise speaking first with your vet in order to find out which ones are the best and to make sure you get exactly what your pet needs. In regard to cooking for your pet, you can do what I used to do. I would get a crock pot and put in a whole organic chicken with carrots, peas, chicken gizzards, chicken livers, sweet potato, oatmeal, eggs, and spinach. The ingredients varied, but this is what I would mostly feed them. I'd let it cook down, bones and all, and it would come out literally like wet canned dog food. I'd keep it in the fridge and warm it up a bit before feeding them, and all the ingredients were always organic. The only thing is that it turned out to be a bit pricey, and it was a little difficult to make sure that they were getting the proper nutrition supplement-wise. As with human and pet supplements, the FDA does not regulate supplements or vitamins. They're classed differently than medication. As an example, the drug methotrexate. Now, this, like all drugs that are regulated, they must contain a certain level of ingredients that are the same in every single pill in every single bottle. For supplements, as an example, a vitamin could have 200 milligrams of a particular ingredient in one pill and 50 milligrams of that same ingredient in another pill. And this would be despite getting both of them from the same bottle. Now, this is not to say that vitamins and supplements are bad. They're not. They're just not regulated the same way. So the ideal thing is to buy quality food with all the vitamins and nutrients already in them, so you don't have to worry about anything additional. You can always give your pet healthy snacks like carrots, yogurt, beans, blueberries, apples, watermelons, etc. to increase their nutritional intake. Preventative care. Preventative care is one of the best things that you can do for your furry family member. One of the simplest things we can do to improve our pet's health is to keep them clean. You can wash your furry family member every few months or so. However, say for instance that your dog is very active outside, you may want to wash them once every 2 weeks or as needed, especially if they spend time on the furniture. Just make sure you get a quality conditioner, as you want to replace the oils that are stripped away when washing in order to help to create a full and healthy coat and skin. There are shampoos and conditioners out there that should be avoided. Try to find ones without certain ingredients like parabens, phthalates, sodium lauryl sulfate, sodium lauryl sulfate, ethylene diamine tetraacetic acid, and fragrance. The term fragrance can contain up to 400 or so ingredients. Try to find an organic shampoo and conditioner that uses organic or natural ingredients such as tea tree oil, rosemary extract, coconut oil, and orange oil. There are even formulas online to make your own dog shampoo. You may want to research those a bit and then talk to your vet before trying this. One thing that some cats and dogs get every now and again are fleas. They can be very troublesome, very problematic, and difficult to get rid of. Fleas are problematic in that they replicate like crazy, as one female flea can lay 50 eggs a day. I remember when using flea protection before I knew what I know now. My oldest dog used to run around after applying it down her back, and I had to stop and wipe it off, and then I realized it was burning her. One active ingredient in flea protection is imidacloprid. What it does is that it disrupts the nervous system of fleas, but your pet can have allergic reactions to traditional flea protection that contain this chemical. Pets can experience tearing, lethargy, vomiting, diarrhea, and sometimes seizures. Imidacloprid is still used in the United States. However, it was banned by the European Union back in 2018. There are safer options available, and I would choose safer options such as coconut oil, vinegar, neem oil, lemons, lemon oil, oranges, and orange oil. Coconut oil is a great non-toxic and natural way to get rid of fleas. After watching your pet, it's a great idea to get some cold-pressed, organic, unrefined coconut oil and gently brush it through your pet's fur. Coconut oil contains lauric acid. Lauric acid contains antimicrobial lipids that break down bacterial cell wall membranes. So not only will it keep your furry friend healthy and shiny, it can be used to kill fleas. It essentially drowns the fleas and prevents them from getting onto your pet. Apple cider vinegar is another method that you can use. Even though it's an acid, it's a weak acid, and it can't penetrate the exoskeleton of fleas. However, it's very effective in getting rid of fleas and preventing them from getting on your pet. you can put one part apple cider vinegar, three parts water in a spray bottle, and then, making sure to avoid the eyes and nose, gently spray it along your pet's back and neck area. You can even spray it onto a cloth and apply it that way. How it works is that fleas do not like the taste nor the smell of apple cider vinegar, so it just makes your pet's body an unfavorable environment. Another thing that you could do is to add a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar to your pet's water. If you choose the latter, just make sure your pet still drinks their water, because if your pet does not like the taste, they won't drink it. So be mindful of that. Lemon juice can be used in a similar manner in regard to a spray for your pet, as well as adding it to water. You can also use lemon oil and orange oil. Both orange and lemon oil work in the same fashion as coconut oil by drowning pets. These sprays can also be made to spray in and outside the home as a preventative measure. You can either buy the oil and mix it with water in a spray bottle, or buy organic lemons and oranges and peel the skin. Boil it with some water, let it cool overnight, strain it, and use it as a spray. Another method is to take orange peel and combine them in a jug with white vinegar. If you have a gallon of white vinegar, about a quarter or less of the bottle should be orange peel and the rest should be vinegar. Let it sit for a week, and you can use this in and outside your home to cut down not only on fleas, but termites, ants, and any other pesky insects. Another method is by using either baking soda or salt. Now, baking soda or salt work by drying out the flea and flea eggs. Simply sprinkle them around the house, along corners, and at the baseboards where fleas love to live. Let it sit for an hour or so, and then vacuum the rug or sweep the floor. As a preventative measure, you can do this every 6 months or so, or if you currently have fleas in a home, you may have to do this for a few days in a row. This all depends on the level of fleas that you currently have in your home. Toothbrushing. Brushing our pet's teeth prevents gum disease, cavities, bad breath, and nerve pain. It's vital to brush your pet's teeth. Granted, in a busy life with family, career, and responsibility, it may be easy to overlook doing this. However, you love your pet and you do all you can for your pet, so brushing their teeth is another responsibility that must be done in order to give your pet the best life possible. I would advise brushing at least 5 times a week, no less than 3 times. If your dog eats wet food normally, I would advise brushing 5 times a week. As I mentioned earlier, wet food can be hard on the teeth. It's important to try to get an organic toothpaste or natural toothpaste with the least amount of chemicals. Your furry family member can't rinse out their mouth, so they're essentially swallowing the toothpaste during brushing. Now, on top of this, your vet will more than likely recommend that you have your pet's teeth cleaned at least once a year, especially if they offer this service. Normally, I'm on board with proven science and methods and the advice from doctors and veterinarians. However, in regard to having the vet clean your pet's teeth, I'm not really on board with doing that. Only if the dog or cat has dental disease and it's absolutely necessary. This is because anesthesia is nothing to play with. If your pet needs a surgery to save their life, then yes, because that is necessary. If you stay on top of the dental care 3 to 5 times a week, they should be fine. Now, there are so many heartbreaking stories where a furry family member dies after being brought in for a routine dental cleaning. You know, they end up having a reaction to the anesthesia, and it's just a horrific thing that can happen to a family. On the American Veterinarian Medical Association website, there's an article published on November of 2020 by Katie Burns. The article is entitled, "There Are Only Safe Anesthetists. Veterinarians, Veterinary Technicians Discuss How to Improve Safety in Anesthesia of Cats and Dogs." She states that Dr. DeCahuna, professor of anesthesiology at Midwestern College, states that the risk of death in dogs is 1 out of every 2,000. And for cats, the risk of death is 1 out of every 900. keep in mind there are many factors involved, such as your pet's health, the breed, and weight. And two of my dogs had to have surgery on two separate occasions. My oldest dog, when she was 8, had to undergo emergency surgery. The doctor told me that he could not promise anything, but he would do the best that he could. My family and I took both dogs in to drop her off, and when we got home, my other dog started howling, and she had never done that before. We were worried that she may know something that we don't know, or that, you know, something is wrong. But, you know, it was because she was thinking that we all left together. Why did she not come back with us? Thank God my dog had pulled through and we got the call. The surgery was a success. We took her in for her post-ops and follow-ups, and she lived for 7 more years. She died on December 23rd of last year at 7:40 in the morning. My other dog, she had to undergo surgery of February of this year to remove tumors. She's 13 years old, and thank God she pulled through. I didn't mean to get off topic. It's just that, you know, I just had remembered these things because of the anesthesia and just researching and seeing the different things that can potentially go wrong. Because anesthesia is no joke. And you should know what's involved and what to expect, as well as what safety measures are in place. I will put a link to the American Veterinarian Medical Association's website in the description of the podcast. It's a resource that describes the risk and what you need to know about anesthesia. Vet visits are perhaps the most vital part of your furry family member's health. Our pets can't talk, so it's up to us to pay attention to their behavior and to watch for changes, as well as changes in their mobility, breathing, skin, coat, as well as eating habits. It's a good idea to take your pet in one time a year for an annual checkup to make sure that everything is okay. Snacks. Organic treats or natural treats with limited ingredients are great snacks for your pets. Just as with pet food, you should look for ones without those harmful ingredients and preservatives that I had mentioned earlier. There are many brands to choose from, such as Cookie Pal. Now, they make human-grade organic dog treats. Now, as far as fruits, these make a healthy and delicious treat for your pet. The fruits that I recommend are blueberries, as they are full of antioxidants that fight against cancer, and they have resveratrol, which fight against blood clotting, and also they have antimicrobial properties. Watermelon is packed with vitamins that help overall health, potassium for heart health, and the water, that content that keeps your pet hydrated. Pineapple is another key fruit with lots of benefits. Pineapple is packed with vitamin C, which is great for the immune system, and manganese, which is great for bone health. Apples are also good. You can cut them into small cubes to prevent your dog from choking on them and make sure that they don't get any seeds. Although it is a small amount, apple seeds do contain cyanide. Apples are a great source of vitamin A, which is good for the eyes, and vitamin C for immunity. Apples also contain phenols. Now, they are aromatic organic compounds, and apples contain 5 groups of them. Now, these compounds promote gut health, they reduce inflammation, and they support liver health. Just be mindful of the amount of snacks that you give your pets. As an example, some fruits, although beneficial, can cause your furry family member to have an upset stomach and can even cause diarrhea. In addition, some fruits have a good amount of sugar in them, and too much can lead to weight gain and can eventually lead to diabetes. Now, there are cases where people, that they try to eat healthy and they eat so much fruit that they end up becoming diabetic. And as I had discussed in another podcast, glucose or sugar itself does not cause diabetes. It is the weight gain from sugar and the continuous eating that puts a strain on the pancreas, which can lead to diabetes. Moving on to vegetables. Now, my suggestions for vegetables include sweet potato, pumpkin, carrots, eggplant, as these all make great healthy snacks. Sweet potatoes contain a lot of vitamin A. As mentioned, that's great for the eyes. The skin of sweet potato, which many do not eat, this contains a lot of potassium, and it's great for regulating blood pressure And pumpkin is a good source of vitamin B12. This is essential in red blood cell production and DNA production. It's also a good source of vitamin E, which is great for brain health, skin health, coat health, and it plays an important role in helping the cells in the body to communicate with one another. Carrots are without question a snack that most dogs love, mine in particular. We all know that they're great for eye health, but they're also a great source of fiber, which can help to maintain a healthy weight. Carrots also are full of carotenoids, like beta carotene and alpha carotene. These are the red, yellow, and orange colors that make up the color of the carrot, and these compounds can aid in cancer prevention. Eggplant is another great treat that your pet may love. They're filled with calcium and potassium, which aid in bone and cardiovascular health. They contain phosphorus, which is vital for muscle contraction, proper kidney function, and nerve signaling. They're also an abundant source of phenols. Phenols have been proven to fight inflammation, they can fight cancer cell growth, and they may even hamper tumor cells from forming. Toys. We all love to see our fur babies enjoy themselves and play with their favorite toys. But unfortunately, not all pet toys are created equal. Many are made with toxic chemicals. The sad thing is that, aside from the basic standards of practice, pet toys are not regulated in the United States. And before I point the finger at us and give a thumbs up to the European Union does not regulate pet toys either. Dog toys in particular can often have BPA, cadmium, bromine, and lead. Now, there's a very good article by Colin Wrigley on the Preventative Vet website called How to Find Non-Toxic Dog Toys and Tell If a Toy is Safe. I was so impressed with his article that I'm posting a link to it in the description of my podcast. I don't know who this person is, but I always give credit where credit is due. And there is a great deal of information that pet owners can benefit from. So I want to pass that information on to you by sharing a link to his article. And as always, I'm placing a link to the article in the description of my podcast. Now, it's pretty bad that toys are not regulated. And I'll be honest and say that I did not know this until I started to sit down and create content for this podcast. Everyone knows that children's toys are highly regulated because our children play with these toys and they put them in their mouths and they can spend hours a week playing with them. They used to contain high levels of lead and other toxins, and all that changed when the U.S. stepped up and they tightened regulation, as a majority of these toys were made in other countries and imported to the U.S. So when it comes to pets, which we consider family, it's like hitting a brick wall when you try to give them the best life, the best food, the best health care, to turn around and provide them with a toy that you think, you know, that they're going to love and enjoy, and then realize it can contain potential carcinogens and toxins. And I'm not saying this to make anyone look bad or point the finger at other countries or anything. Most products in the United States are made abroad. Even though we're all human, we're all God's children, every country does not have the same regulatory system or code of ethics. Again, I'm not bad-mouthing anyone or trying to talk bad about anyone. I'm stating obvious facts. Now, the good news is there are BPA-free toys and toys that are free of toxins. A key to this is to look at the labels and to buy from a company that is reputable and has been around for a very long time. If you see a very, very cheap toy that just looks so great and you got to get it, if you never heard of that company or it looks too good to be true, don't get it. Don't risk your pet's health, you know, because of, you know, something may look like a bargain or something like that. Move on and try to get a premium toy that you know that they will enjoy. Dogs love bones, and there are hollowed out shin bones that I recommend. You know, it keeps them occupied, and it also keeps their teeth sharp and clean by reducing tartar buildup. I'm not talking about the ones that are flavored either. They use compounds and chemicals to smell and taste like bacon or cheese, and you may want to avoid those. If you get the ones that are hollow, you can get some soggy dog food. a mashup of sweet potato or peanut butter and put them on either end of the hollow bone, and that'll occupy your dog for hours. Just make sure to supervise them when doing this. You want to avoid the bones that look like they're smoked or that they have a bit of meat on them, and they tend to break and splinter, and they have the potential to be a choking hazard. One thing you definitely want to make sure to avoid are rawhide chews. Many are preserved with formaldehyde and can contain lead and some of the toxins that I just mentioned. If you have a cat, you can get a cat tree or get plenty of safe toys that can occupy their time. This would even include a scratching post, and there are spring toys that roll and bobble that your cat can chase. There are even non-toxic chew toys that they can use. There are even rechargeable toys that have USB ports. They're charged up and they can move around, and your cat can have hours of fun chasing them. Exercise. It's important for your dog or cat to get lots of exercise by taking them for walks and playing with them. For cats, you can incorporate a laser pointer. However, you can walk with your cat on a leash. I've never seen anyone do this, but it's come to my attention that it is more common than I originally thought. Exercise is vital, as when the pets get older and arthritis starts to set in and muscle loss starts, it'll be easier for them to get around if they have exercised often and have eaten an organic diet the majority of their life. That's going to do it for Season 2, Episode 14 of the Living Healthy Podcast. As always, thank you for your continued support. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And I'll see you next time. And remember, living healthy creates a better you.